previously on Waiting for Doom.
Hello, and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the world's greatest Doom Patrol-related podcast about the world's greatest, strangest superhero team, the mighty Doom Patrol.
Hello, I'm Paul, and you can find me on Twitter at Reading Thunder. You still want to do it in one take?
Year three. How does it feel, mate? Oh.
Year three.
You know, thank God we've got Waiting for Doom in our corner.
Can we talk about teeth nipples?
Speaking of good stuff, how about we go and have a look at what's going down on Durrington Way?
Sure. Does that mean that the Doom clock is ticking?
Yes, well done. Yeah, time for
Nailed
the Doom
it.
Clock.
The last Doom Patrol book we had came out a mere 4 weeks ago, issue 9 of volume 6. Issue 10 is, at this stage, unless Paul corrects me in the next second, scheduled for release on January 24th, 2018.
At this stage.
Right. So, yeah.
At this stage. It's officially the end of Grant Morrison's run. We're looking at issues 62 and 63.
A new era of Doom Patrol starts right here.
Issue 64 of Volume 2, written by Rachel Pollack. We are looking at issues 66.
Yeah, this is Richard Case's last Doom Patrol issue.
True. It's a bit of a milestone. It's not only the final episode for the year, it's also the finale of Volume 2.
Well done, Volume 2. Doom Explained.
Yes. So we're getting right into John Byrne's run proper.
Double burn.
Yes. If you hadn't read The Tenth Circle and you were coming in cold in this run, you'd kind of be like, oh, okay.
It'd really bug you if you knew you suddenly dismissed a whole story that you had to read. And then it would bug you worse when you actually read it, I reckon. And Zorro is also a really good David Bowie song.
Is it now? I've been mispronouncing it and miss-singing that song all these years.
So, Doug, thank you for joining us.
That's where I'm supposed to kick in, isn't it?
Yes.
Sorry. That's what I'm here for, I guess, throwing wrenches into the works and messing up Paul's chair.
We're covering stuff we've already read before. Doom Patrol Volume 6, Number 1, Director's Cut. So.
Yeah.
This is the JL May episode of this podcast, and we're covering Justice. We are joined today by a special person. It's Clinton Robson.
My first real experience with the Doom Patrol was the Suicide Squad Doom Patrol team-up.
Oh, yeah?
Which didn't really go over well and didn't leave a lasting impression for that version of the Doom Patrol for me.
This has been a real embarrassing episode for revealing what I haven't read.
Today we are not alone. We are joined by Tamara Bonvillain.
Hi, how are we going?
So Tamara, what were your thoughts on this issue as you were working on it?
It's always weird, but I kind of just come to expect that. You know, it's pretty par for the course.
Do you know, it's going to be all my energy to not say, so Casey's into pussy. Episode 100, a very big celebration for us today. Woohoo! We are joined by a special person, someone who is very dear to us as Doom Patrol fans. Here to make our 100th episode way more special, it's Richard Case.
Hello.
And massive thank you to Richard Case for joining us on this 100th episode. Richard, it's been an absolute honour and pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. It's been an honour and privilege to talk to you guys. Thanks for keeping the love alive for 100 episodes.
And now, year 4, is Pleasers Wilverdon.
Doom Patrol. Negative Man. Elastigirl. Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited. Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello, and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the Doom Patrol podcast. And we're not waiting this week. I'm Paul. You can find me on Twitter at @reading_hicks.
A brand new Doom Patrol, finally. Ooh. And a brand new episode of Waiting for Doom. And a brand new year of Waiting for Doom. Yes, hello. I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter at @avantgarve. You can reach us via email at waitingfordoom@gmail.com on the Waiting for Doom Facebook page. You can also check out Doug Zavisha's excellent posts on mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com. And all our episodes are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and podbean.com.
If you want to get in touch with us on Twitter, the best way to do it is to talk to Wilfred, our Sentient Show Twitter account. He's at WFDPod. And we are sponsored by Comicosity, the awesome site for comic goodness and news and information and nothing about movies or TV shows. Yeah.
No, just the comic book love. That's all we care about. That's all we want to read about. So check Comicosity.com out for all that goodness. So anyway, Paul, how's your break been? It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, good. I mean, I had to go to the doctor's last week. I had a weird lump on my arm.
Oh.
And said, you know, I went to the doctor first. He said, and said, what do I do? And they said, well, basically we need to biopsy it to see if it's worth removing. But to biopsy it, we remove it. And I was like, okay.
Right.
So, yeah. And so they gave me some anesthetic. I didn't look because I am very squeamish about my own blood. And they cut out a piece, it's like a small lemon wedge sized piece of my arm.
Oh.
Was cut out. And then they stitched it up, and so I have I've lost a little bit of weight, and I have a dip in my arm now.
Wow.
And about 7 or 8 stitches. So
okay.
Yeah, this is unrelated to comics, but yeah, of personal interest, and it itches like the Dickens.
Right.
Charles Dickens was very itchy.
Yes.
A lot of fleas and lice and stuff. So,
other than that medical event, was there any other good stuff that happened over Christmas and our summer break? It's winter everywhere else.
Yeah. Well, there's bushfires nearby. There's smoke in the air. It's all exciting.
Oh.
Very hot.
Yes.
Not much relief at the. Actually, no, there's been a few nights where it's been really cold and then really hot in the daytime, and it's just impossible to regulate your body in those circumstances.
Mm.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not humid like it is up your way. You probably want me to talk about comics or something popular.
I think we should just bring the listeners up to speed because we've been off air for like 3-something weeks.
Yeah.
Longer, you know?
So I'm Paul, he's Mike. We talk about the Doom Patrol. The Doom Patrol doesn't come out very often.
Okay.
And we've started a new show. You may have noticed our new show, or you might have gone, what the hell is this, and just ignored it, called DC OCD, which is about DC events, because we are OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And, yeah, that's a bit of fun.
If we really were OCD, we'd be calling it CDO. But anyway.
Okie dokie. Anyway, yeah, Mike, what's been happening with you in your life and stuff?
As you've said, it's been stinking hot here in Australia the last month and a bit. And yeah, we've here in Queensland, we've had the added humidity. So that's been fun. I actually did catch up on some comic reading. I got up to, 970 of Detective Comics. I read like a dozen of them in a row. God, that was fun.
Wow, you've read... yeah, they're new ones, aren't they? 970. Yes. You're heading towards 1,000 now. Sorry,
that's right. Yeah.
Did I ever buy 970? But I was thinking, like, I was buying in the 600s and the 500s.
Yeah, close.
Close. Several hundred months out.
Yes, yes. I have started up a small pull list.
Ooh.
But they get, like, monthly shipments again. So
okay.
I'm going to make an effort to get the haul when it comes in and sit down and read it all. And then I'm just going to sort of fill in the blanks because there are a few gaps in some of the series I was reading. So, another one I really enjoy that I picked up, the first trade of Justice League of America.
Yeah.
The Extremis. And What was really cool, in a kind of totally nerdy, geeky, comic booky way, is that just as I finished that, I've also been watching Justice League Unlimited. And I finished reading The Trade, which was great fun. I really enjoyed that. And then the next episode I watched of JLU had the Extremists in it.
Whoa.
And I was like, what? I thought they were brand new characters. Oh, no, they've got this whole history. Oh, wow.
So, oh, no, they date back to the 80s, those guys.
Yeah, well, they were brand new to me, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. That was awesome fun. So,
well, coincidentally, I also read Justice League America. I read the second official trade, the Curse of the King Butcher trade, which is the one after the one you read.
Yes.
Yes, so that was very good. I've been enjoying them from the library. I think they're good, but I don't know. They're full of 90s references, which I really enjoy. Like, they have Vanity City, and they brought back Terra Smith from the Bloodlines crossover.
Oh, God.
One of the most successful characters out of Bloodlines.
Yep.
Yes, hence the Terra Smith t-shirts we're all wearing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, and all the Terra Smith action figures and, you know, video games and, So, yes, I think this new JLA will be my tentative first steps into trade waiting.
Ooh.
I was like, you know what? I really enjoyed it, but I'm happy to wait for the trade installments.
So, oh, my little Mike is growing up.
Oh, had to happen sooner or later. Oh, dear. Okay, well, now that we're getting back into the swing of things, how about we go and have a look down everyone's favourite street. Let's go have a look at what's going down on Durrington Way.
It's a weird one on Durrington Way. We had some Doom Patrol slippage, some Volume 3 slippage further into the future.
Right.
And apparently, well, 11 and 12 are cancelled or something like that for now, or move back to a date they haven't determined yet, which you take your pick. Yeah,
I thought 11 was still coming out, though.
Maybe it is. Who knows? I mean, according to the DC website, it's going to be out on the 14th of March, Valentine's Day in March, for those of you who celebrate it. And also, according to the DC website, which has to be wrong, the issue 12 will be out on the following week, on the 21st of March, in time for my birthday. That's bullcrap. It won't be out. They did solicit the Doom Patrol Volume 2, Volume 6 second trade, which is called Nada, which we are reading the second last chapter of, because apparently it doesn't end at 12 now. It ends at 11. Mm. So, yeah, and we have Milk Wars imminent, so the last day of January, Milk Wars Part 1 ships, which ties into Justice League of America and with the Doom Patrol. So,
nice.
Yeah, so, Steve Orlando and Gerard Way getting their crossover on. Anyway, so I don't know what the status is of issue 12. It probably won't have the same contents. Maybe they're smooshing 11 and 12 into the single issue and rewriting it. That's my theory.
Yeah.
But I did listen to a podcast just came out called Panel Borders. Well, it's been coming out for ages, but the episode that I listened to came out recently and had an interview with Gerard Way, which was recorded at the Thought Bubble convention in Leeds in September.
Yeah.
And listening to that, there were a few takeaways. It was a very good interview. He's very articulate and enthusiastic and quite honest, I thought. Like, he wasn't, you know, up himself. But he was basically saying it takes him forever to write issues of the Doom Patrol. Like, he said issue 7, the Mike Allred one, he produced a 48-page script for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he said he's trying to loosen up because he's trusting his artist more and knows what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we can see some evidence in that in this issue. But that makes me think that all these delays are probably at Gerard's feet.
Yeah, that's my feeling as well. I had a mini on Twitter when the news broke that at least issue 12 was being pushed back, delayed, whatever you want to call it. And I do think from what we can gather and theorize, I think running Young Animal is taking up more time than Gerard maybe expected. Or Gerard maybe expected. Mr. Way. So I think they need to do something to write the Doom Patrol ship, at least. Because none of the other books in Young Animal seem to be suffering this problem.
Yeah, it needs some sort of intervention. I mean, perhaps... I actually wonder if Milk Wars was a chance to buy some time and for G-Way to step back a bit.
And let someone else carry it a bit.
But,
yeah, I think ideally Gerard should maybe plot it and have the arc ideas and threads, but give someone else the actual writing job.
Yeah.
And get it back on a more regular schedule. Because at the moment, it's freaking killing it.
Yeah, or maybe John Byrne's free.
Swear to fucking God, if John Byrne does end up on the book, I'm blaming you for putting it out there into the universe.
Is that ticking, I hear?
Yeah, Saved by the Bell, buddy. Yes, it's a doom clock. Okay, so as we look upon the face of the mighty doom clock, it's telling us that the last time a Doom Patrol book came out was today, this week.
Woo!
Excellent stuff. Finally. Issue 10 of Volume 6 is in our hot little hands. And I won't say any more about it because we'll be discussing it in Doomsplaining in a moment. Issue 11 is, at this stage, scheduled for release on March 14th, I think you said, Paul?
Yes, at this stage.
Yeah, so about 7 weeks away. So, yeah. Anyway, this week in Doom Patrol history, with thanks to Mike's Amazing World of Comics, going on sale for a mere 12 cents American.
Oh, it's an old one. Old one.
On January 23rd of 1964, which is 54 years to the day as we record, Paul.
Wow.
With a cover date of March of that year, was issue 86 of Doom Patrol Volume 1. Arnold Drake and Bruno Premiani gave us a tale titled The Brotherhood of Evil, which introduced The Brain, Monsieur Mala, Madame Rouge, Mr. Morden, and Rog, the giant robot, as the arch-enemy criminal organization opposing the patrol. And not only was this the first appearance of these characters, but it was also the first issue to actually have the title of The Doom Patrol, which changed from its original title of My Greatest Adventure. What an awesome issue that was. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It didn't have Giacomo, though.
He came you can say way. That about many comics.
So yes, we covered this issue, as well as issues 87 to 90, all the way back in episode 9 from February of 2015. Back in our first year, and now we're in our fourth year. Ugh, where does the time go, honestly?
Well, there's a lot more content than if we're doing Waiting for Giacomo.
Going to make a note on my spin-off ideas book. Anyway, yes, so if you want more details on those issues, check out episode 9 from February of 2015. And that is it for the Doom Clock this week.
Attention, attention all personnel. New from the Fire and Water Podcast Network, it's MASHcast. Hosted by MASH mega fan Rob Kelly and a rotating cast of VIPs, MASHcast analyzes, episode by episode, the greatest television series of all time, MASH. Find MASHcast on fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Jocularity! Jocularity!
Today on the show, as we said, it's a one of those rare weeks when the Doom Patrol actually comes out of a new issue, and we've got it. So yeah, we are holding Doom Patrol of Volume 6, Issue 10, holding it digitally, so you know, have to use a bit of imagination. $3.99 cover price, written by Gerard Way. It has art by Nick Darrington and Tom Fowler. It's got a cover by Nick Darrington, which is a collage-y masterpiece, I think you'd have to say.
Yep.
And it also has a variant cover by Kyle Smart. So Mike's going to take us through this stuff. Go, Mike.
Okay. I'm just going to put this out there. I love this issue. I love everything about this issue other than the release schedule. But anyway.
It's hard to stay mad, isn't it?
It is. It is. You kind of scowl at it and, oh, Doom Patrol. Ugh.
I forgive you.
So it's Doom Patrol Volume 6, Issue 10, titled No Control, Part 3 of Nada. And just to recap what's gone before, when we last saw the Patrol in Issue 9, which we covered in Episode 112 from November of 2017. Good God, 2 months. Spokesman for the Wonderfood shit, Eddie Zilch, revealed himself to Lucius Reynolds that he was in fact Mr. Nobody, and convinced the moody and magically inclined teen to join the new Brotherhood of Nada, alongside the Brutalist, Hector the Boy Detector, 50% Chad, and the Breeze. Meanwhile, we were introduced to the comic character come to life known as the Disappointment, and his plans for universal retconning, while Casey Brink and Terry Nunn fell into each other's arms and out of a window. Love.
Or like.
As we'll see.
Something.
So we open this issue with Terry Nunn standing on the roof of a grocery store, tap dancing up a storm, which somehow triggers a change in everyone who has consumed the Wonderfood shit. Regular people begin mutating horribly into giant, bizarre blobs of chaotic shapes and colours, floating up to the sky, much to Terry's delight, and the approval of an unseen audience who clap her efforts. On a nearby street, Casey Brink comes to, realizing she's sitting in the middle of a sea of chaos, like a giant eyeball on spider's legs, a man with a hammer for a head riding a hippo, giant bugs and colored balls bouncing down the street. But Casey, first thing she does is she calls out for Terry. Meanwhile, over at the Reynolds residence, the Doom Patrol are trying to help Sam and Valerie figure out where their son Lucius has disappeared to. Just as Negative Man detects vibrations that lead to another place somewhere, Robot Man bursts into the room, telling them to come look at the TV, where a reporter is covering the outbreak of chaos and interviewing Mr. Nobody. Nobody reveals that as the shit inside everyone continues to activate, eventually it'll hit critical mass and break all of reality. He then turns to the camera and says, "You're welcome." Cliff storms off, telling the team that they'd better head down there and have a talk with Mr. Nobody. Meanwhile, over at Retcon Industries, Richard the Underling reveals to the Disappointment that a film adaptation of the comic he originated from, Hacks Along the Star Archer, is in the works. The final scene of the film is to be the wedding of Haxalon and his love, Starlene. And cast in that role is an actress by the name of Rita Farr. Just as the Disappointment commands Richard to locate Rita to help finalize his plans, an alarm sounds and warns them of the shit-induced chaos outbreak in our world, which Richard realizes will break Retcon's reality if the patrol can't stop that chaos. The Disappointment pulls a gun on Richard, telling him to figure it out, handle the situation, and find Rita Farr. Oh my God, Rita's coming back. Back in our world, the Brotherhood of Nada are reveling in the chaos, and as Mr. Nobody is inflating the TV reporter into a giant panda, right, okay. The patrol, along with Sam and Valerie, arrive. Dumb patrol, Nobody greets them. I convince the whole world to gorge themselves on this delicious and nutritious additive that, unbeknownst to them, turns their entire reality inside out once activated by my tap-dancing daughter. You're all screwed. Nobody has the best lines. This is when Sam sees Lucius, and as he tries to get him back, Nobody claims, Lucius doesn't need you guys anymore. He's got important things to do, like breaking reality and wiping out all of existence. To which Hector the Boy Detector responds, wait, what? Suddenly, Robot Man punches Nobody so hard, he flies through the air and crashes through the grocery store windows. The Brotherhood run after their leader, and the Patrol chase after them. And this is when one of the most madcap chase-slash-fight scenes I've ever read occurs. Flex Mentallo chases after 50% Chad, wanting to understand where the rest of him is, but is soon overcome by the smell of failure. The Breeze rides on the back of Keeg the Negative Spirit like a skateboard, whilst the Brutalist knocks Flex through aisle shelves, and Nobody flicks Robot Man away with a giant glove. And just as Lucius calls forth a giant mustachioed frog from his top hat to eat Crazy Jane, of course, his parents bring logic, reasoning, and apologies into it all. They all realize that the three of them just want to be happy, back to how they were before all this craziness started, and they reconcile. But just as quickly as that happens, a demonic-looking winged squirrel appears, possibly somehow related to the squirrel Lucius tried to reanimate in issue 8, which we covered in episode 104 with special guest Tamara Bond Villain. Anyway, the demon squirrel tells Lucius that he has real magic and must come to the demonscape to reclaim his throne. Lucius says he's not going anywhere without his family, and so Demon Squirrel teleports the entire Reynolds family away, leaving Jane standing in a cloud of smoke saying, "Whoa." Casey at this point has made it up to the roof of the store where Terry is still tap dancing. Casey asks her if she's upset that they, you know, and also if she's a bad guy, maybe. Terry responds to this by suddenly, instantly becoming very, very pregnant. Right. We're then treated to two very short interludes.
Now, that's a way to stop a conversation.
Yes. Talk about a pregnant pause. We're then treated to two very short interludes. The first has the disappointment crying, "No!" as Richard the Unling cries, "Yes!" at this sudden development. And the second has the chief, Niles Calder, appear with a diagram of Terry and Casey, proclaiming that they're two people who don't exist and have been brought together in an improbable union, elevated to preposterous levels by simultaneously ingesting a really fresh box of shit. What kind of baby do you think they'll produce? And will the birth break reality? We're about to find out. And cutting back to reality, Casey is behind the wheel of Danny the Ambulance, with Terry in the back being comforted by Fug and Ricardo the magic-handed masseuse. Chasing right behind them is the Doom Patrol on stolen bikes, except for Flex, who has a fear of bikes and prefers a muscular stimulus given by a healthy sprint. Chasing right behind the Doom Patrol is the Brotherhood of Nada in Mr. Nobody's car. "All hands on deck, strangeoids. I'm about to become a grandfather," he cries. And he rams the car into the back of Danny, joining the two vehicles together. The patrol joins hands as Cliff grabs onto the back of the Nada-mobile. And the strange convoy picks up speed as Ricardo cries out, "It's coming!" And everything goes blank. Pure white blank. Disembodied voices ask, "Where is everything? What just happened?" And suddenly, the ambulance comes crashing out of the white, tearing through unreality, crashing to a halt, nose first into the ground. The bodies of the patrol, their friends, and the Brotherhood are strewn all about a hallway in Retcon Industries, and an unseen audience claps at this development. And that's the end of issue 10. Oh, I love this issue. This is crazy.
It's the it's a mad world of Doom Patrol stories, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what were the highlights for you, Paul?
Basically, I just love the simple elegance of the front the first page of Terry putting on the tap dancing shoes and starting the music, then starting to tap dance,
mm-hmm.
and it just makes everything suddenly go insane in the world. You know, everybody turns into something weird and starts to float, basically.
Yep.
Except for Casey. Yeah. This is a really dense one, but it's super fun. Like,
yeah.
I would say my previous favorite issue of this run was probably the comic shop one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the origin of Casey and yep. you know, the Crisis on Infinite Earths tributes mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff. But this one has probably replaced that.
Oh, wow.
It's my new favorite. It's my new favorite thing, Mike.
Awesome.
Yeah. But Oh, everyone's so funny. Like, Flex is hilarious in this issue.
I really love the lines that Flex gets because it fleshes out his character a bit more. And he's such a golly gee good guy.
You know? Yeah. And while they're in the supermarket, and because Terry's about to give birth, he grabs two packs of diapers. And then when the rest of the patrol are on their bikes and chasing after the ambulance, he's running there with the diapers. That has to be a tribute to Raising Arizona.
Right. I'd forgotten that.
Which is another Madcap fun film.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Let's talk about the disappointment stuff. So, Richard finds an old copy of Starlag, which has the very similar logo to the magazine Starlog, which all nerds of our age are fairly familiar with.
Yes.
I presume this was a film that was going to be made a while back, not currently, and Rita Farr was going to star in it.
Okay.
Yeah. But they talk about there's multiple realities for Rita. Like, in one reality, she's just an actress who had a pretty good run. Another, she became the Rita Farr that we know and love from Doom Patrol.
Yes. And
he says it calls the Doom Patrol the unstable mod.
Yeah, and they've even got a mod classification number for them, mod 983. So, you're right. I'm assuming there's a whole multiverse thing in the background here with the disappointment. Yeah.
And Rita was seen in close-up, extreme close-up, in Shade the Changing Girl, one of the issues of...
Yes.
Yeah, so she's about in the Young Animal universe, and she looks like she is an older actress.
Yes.
So, wow.
Very excited to see her return in some form, yeah.
But I'm quite worried about this reporter who gets inflated into a panda. It looks like he looks very sad, a sad panda.
He is a sad panda.
Overinflated.
Yeah. I can't find anything wrong with this issue. It's full of colour, it's full of action, it progresses the story. I think maybe the only thing that happened too quickly for my liking was the Reynolds family sort of reconciling. I think that was kind of like, oh, we love you, Lucius. Oh, okay, I love you too. Let's all be friends again. That seemed to happen really quickly.
But just in time for them to be whisked off to a hell dimension by a very Mike Mignola-looking squirrel demon.
Yeah.
So it looks like a dead squirrel with bat wings, and it has like a metal sconce type thing or horns coming out of its head with a flame in the middle. Very Hellboyish.
Mm.
Yeah, and very cool.
Yeah, so I think there's our future plot thread there waiting to happen. Because, you know, G-Way, he loves to drop new threads into pretty much every issue that he's brought out so far. So,
I don't think he's a traditional comic book writer, as in plot, you know, main plot, B plot, you know. There's a lot more, I know, it's not free association, but it's sort of... You can't predict where these comics go from issue to issue. I mean, you can predict some of the characters who are going to show up, like we were on to Mr. Nobody before he turned up, but the whole way it's all put together is just so surprising and weird. And like, you know, the instant pregnancy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we were warned about that in the solicit info a while back for this issue, but... I'd completely forgotten about it. And then when it happened, I was like, oh, that's right. Wait, what?
And you literally have the chief pop up to explain it all with, you know, a pulled down chart.
Yes.
Like in an old-fashioned classroom. Is it just me? Does the chief look like he's losing weight?
A little bit. He does look a little bit
thinner. Yeah, he's looking a little bit gaunter, maybe. Gaunter. Yeah, but I mean, scene of the comic has to be the bicycle chase with the ambulance and the brotherhood of Nada Car, and you know that is just hilarious. And you know, in the midst of it, Casey confesses that I like you to Terry.
Yeah,
and you know, Terry kind of likes her too. That's, you know, like is in the air.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Even though Casey's kind of like, are you a bad guy? It's like, yeah. Well, look around you, dear.
Yes, but I do like the scene where in the ambulance where Terry's about to give birth, but Fugg's head is blocking the inappropriate view that we would see. So it's good. Even Fugg is there, and Ricardo, and yeah,
it's everyone has a great moment in this book. It's so much fun. It's so bizarre, and it was funny. I was legitimately laughing at the bicycle scene, and the fight scene in the grocery store, like. With Flex chasing after 50% Chad. It's like, but where's the rest of you? I just want to understand, where's the rest of you? But then Chad's, you know, holding his head down with a sock. And he's like, the smell of failure. Oh, I'm getting weak.
Yeah. Things I don't understand. I don't know why Richard is so happy with this turn of events with the baby coming. And he said, I can't believe it. She's giving birth to an omni-blank, which... implies a flexible unit that you can do anything you want with, whereas the disappointment is disappointed and said it's, you know, the worst thing that could happen and it happens.
Yeah.
And then Richard said, we can initiate retcon plan C, and he looks really stoked.
Yes.
So, yes.
I think the disappointment has a definite plan in his mind. I think Richard and possibly the rest of the underlings have different hopes from the disappointment. So I wonder if there's going to be a bit of internal conflict there within retcon.
Well, I mean, to me, Richard always looks like the embodiment of a DC staffer from the 70s or the 80s. So perhaps an omni blank is like a whole rebirth, you know, a rebirth or a complete retcon of the universe. So, you know, maybe he's pretty stoked by that as a comic book man. Yeah. That they can, relaunch everything.
The disappointment says something else that got my attention. What was it? Something about cutting the broadcast. That's right. Because he says to Richard, you know, how am I supposed to have my wedding massacre, my revenge? How am I supposed to pull off the finale of all finales, cutting the broadcast to the Eonymous and allowing them to destroy everything? So it's like... Yeah, maybe Richard's hoping for a clean start, a fresh slate, whereas the disappointment just wants to wipe everything out and be done with it and not
cancel
back.
Things. Perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's stuff to chew on, and I don't think we've got the right dentures at the moment.
You're calling me old. But yeah, I think it's a lot of fun. It's just a shame it takes so long to get to us. It really does kill the momentum of it all.
I mean, that's probably you were expressing your disappointment before. To me, I don't really mind if the comic is late. It doesn't make tremendous difference to my life as such. It just makes a difference to this show. And, you know, when an issue comes out, I feel like I barely remembered the previous ones. Yeah. And, you know, on an ideal week, I have time to reread, you know, the previous couple of issues just to get my head back into it. I didn't have time this time. But, yeah, that seems to be one of the hardest things about this. And, you know, it must be diabolical for sales, I would say. Yeah, I mean, you've got the people who like to go to the comic shop. They like to get their comics. They don't like to wait. They don't like to, you know, trade waiters like me, it's fine. I can wait for a trade. And when I get it, you know, beauty, and there it is. But if you are a issue person, a Wednesday warrior, as it were, Thursday in most parts of Australia, then this sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And if you're a retailer, I don't think it's great either.
No. You know,
retailers
they have to put up. Yeah, they have to put up with the irate customers that are like, oh, where's the new Doom Patrol? That's meant to be out. Oh, sorry. Come back in 2 months.
Yeah, whereas I think the predominant audience for this comic is probably in the trades these days, I'd say.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a name creator. It's weird and edgy and, you know, and quite different. Yeah. And it's satisfying in big chunks.
Yeah. It's just satisfying all around.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, on the last page, where Danny has crashed landed into this place with these rocks in things.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered if they are... I mean, I haven't read the second volume of Cave Carson. I've read the first six issues. Yep. I'm just wondering if these rocks have anything to do with Cave Carson or...
Okay.
That sort of thing. Maybe someone knows. Maybe Reggie knows, Reggie and Chris.
Okay.
They're pretty religious with their young animal coverage.
Right. Yeah, I was wondering what they were or what they were linked to, but I'm sure we'll find out in good time. Probably in Milk Wars even.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this could be just setting the stage for Milk Wars where, you know, everything's gone into an omni-blank and this is the new universe that results or the new reality. Perhaps that's what's going to happen. Maybe this is the perfect time for Milk Wars. Though it doesn't say to be continued in Milk Wars. It says to be continued in the thrilling conclusion to Nada.
Yes.
Which we now know is the name of this arc overall.
Yes.
Hmm. Yes.
We've known that for a while, but anyway.
Well, but, you know it in the biblical sense.
Right. Yep. Okay. On that note, do you think we've doomsplained that enough?
I think we've done our best today.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome issue. I love it.
Yeah.
Keen for more. Please and thank you.
Everything throughout. Nick Darrington is just amazing. Tom Fowler. And the colours. The colours are just a lot of delight.
Yeah.
You know. Well done, Tamara.
Well done, Tamara. Well done, everyone on the team. Maybe B+ for G-Way. Because in terms of holding up
a the late release, submission.
Yes. Yes.
You do lose points for late work.
Yeah. And I hate saying that because I genuinely love this series. Obviously, I'm a bit biased because it's Doom Patrol. Woohoo. But this is genuinely a good run.
Well, I mean, I don't think we're one-eyed Doom Patrol fans. I mean, we call a burn a burn when we see one, you know?
That's right. Yeah, you know. Look, there were even issues of Morrison stuff that, you know, we weren't crazy about.
Yeah, a little bit of weirdness outstaying its welcome.
And there was stuff by Pollack that in some parts we were not fans of, other parts we were fans of. So, yeah, I think we are quite fair in calling a spade when it comes to the Doom Patrol. And this is genuinely a good run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just wish it was a bit more regular.
People who come at this in trade form are going to just love it.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Hopefully it sticks a landing at the conclusion.
Yeah. It's very unlikely it won't at this point.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, since we're all so high on it right now.
Okay, that's it. We're doing fine.
Onward.
And now it's time for the Mailbag of Doom. And this week in the mailbag, we have, pun intended, Nada. We didn't... I can't even recall if we had a question of the week at the end of last
we
year. Did.
We didn't. We had a bit of fun with what's your favourite false memory of the show.
Yeah.
And... bit of fun that, but that's, you know, too chaotic even for this segment to go through those. Yeah. So,
but we would like to thank everyone that continued to listen to the show whilst we're on a break. Maybe new listeners, maybe those getting caught up over the Christmas season. We really appreciate you guys listening, tuning in, and enjoying the show.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't seem to miss a beat, did it?
No.
There's lots of downloads happening, and it's... very, very gratifying. Thank you. We really do appreciate it.
Yes. But we will have a question of the week for the next episode. What is that question, Paul?
Okay. It's a beauty. Who is your favourite backup team for a character? Backup team. So the concept is you have, I mean, there's even comics titled this way, blah, blah, and the blah, blahs, you know, as it were. Like,
so... the Outsiders for Batman.
Yeah, you've given one away. No one will pick that because no one likes The Outsiders, but there you go. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Really, do people not like The Outsiders?
Oh, there's a couple of freaks, but yeah, most people don't.
Okay, I'm just going to add that to my list of the challenges.
The Outsiders. I don't think it's a concept that's aged that well, but that's my aggressive two cents. Okay. But I mean, you've got things like in music terms, you know, Tom Petty and yeah,
okay,
and the backup band, as they know.
Yep. Yes, great
backup. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, or
right, okay. So it can be any backup team for any character, living or not, or real or not.
Well, I'm talking comics. That was my thinking. Okay. So,
I'm sure, given previous responses to questions, people will tell us in comics or in movies or music.
People will do what they want. Yeah,
yeah.
We'll just have to, you know, go with it, because that's what we do. We're so accommodating of our listeners.
Yeah, we sure are.
Yeah.
So yes, that's the question of the week for the next episode. Yeah.
Send us an email. No, we haven't had any emails. And also let us know what you think of DC OCD, because we're pleased and proud of that one, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah. And also, I guess, yeah. Oh, we'll save it for DC OCD. But blah. Pretend I said something interesting.
Okay. Oh, so rusty. Anyway, on that note, we will sign off for now. We'll be back next time. There will be episode 1 of DC OCD out next week. And then after that, Waiting for Doom will return with episode 117 and Milk Wars Part 1.
Milk Wars Part 1.
Doom Patrol JLA.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Excellent indeed. Yes. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Paul. If listeners want to get in touch, you can reach us via Wilfred on Twitter at WFDpod. Email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. Check out the Waiting for Doom Facebook page and Doug's excellent work on mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com.
Yeah, and let's hear it from Mike for that amazing intro and all the work that he put into that.
Oh, thank you. That was good fun, that intro.
It's a good thing it's only annual, I bet you're thinking.
Every year, God, we've only done 3 years before this, I say to myself, I am going to keep the funny bits at the end of each episode, and I will store them there and then in the template for the intro for next year. How many times do you think that's actually happened?
I'm guessing nada.
Correct. Yes, instead it's been, okay, who did we have on as a guest? What did we say? What was that episode where he said that funny thing? Oh, shit. But yes, no, it's good fun. It's good to look back at the year that was. So, yeah, roll on year 4.
Whoa.
Woo. Woo. That's us done for this episode. We'll catch you next time for more Waiting for Doom.
Waiting for Doom.
Ain't no night, and there ain't no night. Did you hear what I said? I'm gonna get white. Into the white.